The children may be dismissed for children's church. Thank you. Jody, Rich, John, they all reminded me. Yes. I could get it on my own, though. Oh, great. Thank you, worship team. It was great to worship with all of you. To sing about the joy of the Lord. Yeah. Great. I hope you had a happy Thanksgiving. That was a great time. What an appropriate holiday for believers. It's not my sermon. I just wanted to throw this in for free. Jody and I would do parenting seminars in Eastern Europe for young couples. And one thing I would say at the end a lot of times is, I'd say just for free. It was all for free, by the way. But one thing that will transform your family, transform your life, is Thanksgiving, being a thankful person. Giving thanks for anything and everything that you can think of will transform you and your family. It doesn't change your circumstances, but it changes you. And just as grumbling can be a habit, Thanksgiving can be a habit. And so let me encourage you just to keep the attitude of Thanksgiving throughout the year and see what the Lord does. We have much to be thankful for. Salvation, but everything, many things day by day. Well, I want us to look at 1 John chapter 5, chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. Years ago, someone I know told a story about how they went to a barn dance, and he was at the barn dance, and they were square dancing and everything, and then they got on a wagon, and they went for a hay rack ride in the country. And then the tractor stopped by a woods, and it was the haunted woods, and they were going to go through the woods on a trail through the woods in the dark. And it was a long line of people snaking through the woods, and this guy I know, he got impatient. And so he wanted to just, they're going too slow, he wanted to go around them. So he grabbed this girl that was by him by the hand and said, "Come on, let's go." And he took off running, and just when he got up to full speed, his foot hit a root that was sticking up, and the root did not move. And so his forward momentum was stopped, and all that forward energy was transferred through his legs, through his body, out his arm, into the arm of that girl, and he threw her forward. Well, if he had a flashlight, he could have seen where he was going. This morning, I want to talk about walking in the light. Walking in the light. 1 John chapter 1, picking up at verse 3, and we'll go through verse 7 of 1 John. It says, "What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. These things we write so that our joy may be made complete. This is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin." Lord, I pray that you would speak to us through your word now. I pray that just as we sang about joy, we would experience the joy of salvation and of fellowship and the joy from your word as we discover it. Speak to us and lead us to the appropriate applications in each of our lives, we pray, in Jesus' name. Well, a number of years ago, when we were living in Slovenia, Jody and I and our whole family, we had a Christmas party at our house, and we invited a number of friends. Some were Christians, some were not, and it was really, the party ended up being a hit. We had kind of a great time. It was lots of fun. We had a gift exchange. We sang some songs. We ate some food. We played some games, lots of laughter. Actually, there was lots of Christian fellowship there. It was just a great time. And I noticed a friend of mine was sitting on the chair, and he was just sitting there by himself, and he had this kind of smile on his face. And he stayed for a really long time, and he was not a Christian. I'd shared the gospel with him many times. And as the evening went on, he just continued to sit there and didn't move. And then slowly people were leaving and the evening was coming to an end, and he got up and came over to me and he shook my hand. He said, "Thanks, Don." And he left. And I saw him a couple months later, and we were talking, and he said, "Don, when I was at your house, I had this incredible experience. I've never experienced anything like it before. But I was just so happy. I felt so good sitting in your living room, and I didn't want to leave. And I was afraid if I got up out of the chair, that feeling would go away. And that I didn't want to get up. I didn't want to leave at all. And I said, his name was Miha. I said, Miha, I said, probably what you were reacting to was called Christian fellowship. There were Christians in the room. We were enjoying the party. We were enjoying each other, but we were also enjoying the Lord and the fellowship that we had with the Lord. To my knowledge, he never became a Christian, but he was really close to the Christian fellowship. He saw something that was there, but he wasn't experiencing it himself personally. He told me also, he said, I feel like I'm inside a glass. And he said, I can press on the sides, but I can't push through it. He said, I know there's more to life out there, and that there's happiness, and that there's joy, but I'm not getting it. I'm not able to get through to it. I'm somehow separated from it. That's how a lot of people are. We sang about joy. Joy to the world. We sang joy, joy, joy. The joy of the Lord. And there's lots of people that are going to church, and they hear about it, and they listen to Christian worship, and they sing along, but they're not getting it themselves. It's like they're at the party, but they're not fully a part of it. They can see it's real. They can see something's going on, but they're inside somehow the glass jar, and they're not able to push their way through it to not experience it the way other people are. There's many people who are on the outside of the party looking in, even though they're still on the outside. And it's like that in the church. There's lots of people, and they might even be in the church building, might be in a church on Sunday, but they're still on the outside looking in. They don't have the real thing. They're not experiencing that real type of fellowship that other believers can have with one another. Why is that? The reason is because there's a disconnect between that individual and God. They're still not connected to the Father through Jesus Christ. You look at verse 3 of 1 John chapter 1. It says, what we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, so that you may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. In order to have that fellowship, that Christian fellowship, you need to first be connected to the Father, to God Himself, through His Son, Jesus Christ. You need to come into a relationship with Him, and it's only through Jesus Christ. Until you're connected with Jesus Christ, with God the Father through Jesus Christ, you cannot experience Christian fellowship with other believers. You can see it. You can be close to it. You can even feel it a little bit, but you're not really a part of it because you're disconnected from God Himself. And the way to be connected to God is through His Son, Jesus Christ, admitting that you're a sinner and embracing Jesus Christ as a solution for your sin, as your personal Savior, inviting Him into your life and confessing Him as your Lord and Savior. He continues on in verse 4 of 1 John. He says, these things we write so that our joy may be made complete. John says, the reason I'm writing this book, the reason why I'm telling you about the Lord, is so that my joy might be complete. It's normal for us to talk about the things we enjoy, the ones we love, the things we like. Joy is only half complete until we pass it on and share it with another person. Believers want to tell others about Jesus Christ. It is the most natural thing to talk about the Lord for the believer, to pass it on to others. 23 years ago, this fall, Jody and I stood at the altar before God, family, and friends, and we got married. And the minister turned to me and he said, Don, do you take this woman to be your wife? And I, in a very loud voice, said, I do. I wanted everyone to hear that, yes, I take this woman to be my wife. She's mine. I'm happy to announce that she's my wife. I want everyone to know, 23 years later, it's still the same. I want everyone to know that Jody is my wife and that we're happily married. It's a wonderful thing that we're able to experience. It's normal to talk about the things you love, the people you love, the things that you enjoy. It's the same is true for the believer. By the way, if you want to be a good and effective witness for Jesus Christ, the key is to love Him, to enjoy the Lord, to really enjoy the Lord. I'm not talking about religion or religious obligations. I'm talking about relationship. Relationship with the one who loves you very much and who loved you unto death. Enjoying that relationship with the Lord. And as you're enjoying the relationship with the Lord, you can't help but tell others about Him. It's a very natural thing. Love the Savior, and you won't be able to help but tell others about the Savior. My father is 88 years old, and he's growing in the Lord. It wasn't always that way, but he is growing even at age 88 in the Lord. He and my mother became Christians shortly after they were married, before I was born. And a man who loved the Lord, who couldn't help but talk about Jesus, share the gospel with my father. This man just loved the Lord, and that's what he wanted to talk about. And as a result, he loved other people. And it took traction in my father's life, and he became a Christian. After this man passed, and years later, his wife said to me, kind of discreetly, she said, "Your father was a hard case." I already knew that. It took someone who genuinely loved the Lord, who had a genuine love for the Lord, that he could see in this person's life that connected with him and hit home. Verse 5, John says, this message is from the Lord. "This message we have heard from Him and announced to you, that God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all." So John's saying, this is the message I got from Jesus. This is what Jesus taught. Jesus taught that God the Father is light, and there's absolutely no darkness in Him. This isn't something humans made up. This is what the Lord Jesus was teaching. John chapter 1, the correlation to the book of John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 5 says, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." The light was shining in the darkness, and the darkness didn't understand the light, and does not understand the light. But the word could also be translated, "The darkness did not overcome the light." Light and darkness are locked in an eternal struggle. The battle is going on. But what I'm very fond of saying is, if you put darkness and light in the same room and let them fight it out, light wins every time. Wherever light goes, the darkness is dispelled. It's not an even match. Wherever the light goes, the darkness loses. John chapter 3, verse 19 says this, "This is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil." That's not talking about bad people. That's talking about people like you and me. That's all people. We have darkness in our hearts before Christ. We love the darkness because our deeds were evil. That's what we wanted. But in the grace of God and in the sovereignty of God, His mercy penetrated our hearts, and somehow we embraced Christ and received eternal life. And His light is being shed abroad in our own lives. We who were lost, while we were still yet sinners, Christ died for us. We were in darkness, just like anyone else. Those who are apart from Christ are still in darkness. There's three things in the Bible that says that God is. The first is John chapter 4, verse 24. It says, "God is spirit. No one has ever seen God at any time. God is spirit." The second is from 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. It says, "God is love." And the third thing is right here in John, 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, "God is light." But God is love. It's been said that God is love, love is blind. Stevie Wonder is blind. Therefore, does that mean Stevie Wonder is God? Doesn't work that way, does it? God is love, but love is not God. Love emanates from God. God is light. Light isn't God. God is light. Light, all light, emanates ultimately from God. John wants us to know that God is light. When I was living in Europe, I was sharing the gospel with a Muslim friend of mine, and he was explaining to me about Islam. And he said, Allah is holy, man is sinful, and the way to reach Allah is through the five pillars of Islam, the things you must do. And I said, well, okay, so you do that, and that will kind of pay off your sin, but isn't Allah holy? Yes, he's holy, and you're sinful. Yes, I'm sinful. Then how can sin ever be in the presence of God? If he's holy and you're sinful, how can you ever hope to be in the presence of God? He said, well, if you do the five pillars, then maybe Allah will be merciful. Right, got it. You do the five pillars, you work off your sin, maybe Allah will be merciful, but he's still holy. You've still sinned. You can't go in the past and take away your sin. It's done. You can't remove it. He was stumped at that point. We can't go in the past and undo what we've done. And we've all sinned. In order to enter the party of the redeemed, in order to become truly saved, you need to know that God is light. There's absolutely no darkness, no sin in his presence. John uses the triple negative here in verse 5. It says that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. It's a triple negative. In English, we can't use triple or double or triple negatives. To do a double negative makes it a positive. To do a triple negative makes it negative, positive, negative, and then you start to get confused. It doesn't work in English, but in Greek it does, and in many languages it does. And John uses the triple negative here to emphasize that there's no darkness. There is no darkness at all in God. Absolutely none. There's no sin in his presence. God doesn't tolerate the sinner in his presence. I want to look at Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. It says this: In the year of King Uzziah's death, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, lofty and exalted, with the train of his robe filling the temple. Seraphim stood above him, each having six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called out to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the foundations of the thresholds trembled at the voice of him who called out, while the temple was filled with smoke. Then I said, Woe is me, for I am ruined, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphim flew to me with the burning coal in his hand, which he had taken from the altar with tongs. He touched my mouth with it and said, Behold, this has touched your lips, and your iniquity is taken away, and your sin is forgiven. The next thing you need to know is that God is light. There's no darkness. No darkness, no darkness at all. But you also need to know that in order to enter the party of the redeemed, that you need to understand that you are undone, that you are ruined, that you are without any resources to save yourself, and that if you ever are to be rescued from the impending destruction and judgment of God, that salvation needs to come from outside of your hands. You can't do anything to save yourself. It must come from God. The solution is in God. It's not in us. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 16 says, The Lord Jesus Christ dwells in unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see. God is light. There is not a blemish. There's not any sin in his presence. And we can't approach him. In and of ourselves, we are separated from God. 1 Corinthians 15:50 says, Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. We cannot be in God's presence as we currently are. 1 Corinthians 15:51 says, But we will be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. We will be changed physically. For the person who embraces Christ, they are changed spiritually the moment we place our trust in Jesus Christ. We've been born again to new life in Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus told the religious leader of all of Israel, who came to him in the middle of the night, and Jesus said, I tell you this, unless you are born again, you cannot inherit the kingdom of God. You're not going unless you're born again. You need a brand new start. You need your sins cleansed and forgiven. You need to start over. God is not going to change himself in order for us to be in heaven with him. That would no longer be heaven. That would be hell. We don't take hell with us when we go to heaven. We need to be changed, to be made brand new. The solution is not to lower the bar or the grade on a curve. The solution is to have the darkness removed and to be born again, to be made brand new. That's what the Bible offers through Jesus Christ. That's what a Christian is. Someone who believes that Jesus is God, believes that Jesus is also fully man, because a man needs to pay for our sins. They understand also that God is completely holy, without any darkness, without any sin. They also need to understand that they are utterly lost and sinful, separated from God, without any hope apart from Jesus. And they need to understand that Jesus is the solution for their sin. And finally, they need to embrace Jesus by faith and receive him as their Savior and Lord. The Bible says when someone does that, they are born again spiritually. Brand new. Not simply are they forgiven, but they're born again. Spiritually, we are brand new. We have a new spirit. The old self is cut off. It's still there, but we're a new person. The Bible calls us a new creation in 2 Corinthians 5:17. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things have passed away. New things have come. Well, you might say, I know someone who's a Christian and he lives any way other than a Christian. He's worse than a lot of people that I know. That's a problem. That is a problem. I'm a Christian. I love the Lord. I want to serve the Lord. But I got to admit that sometimes I don't live in a very Christian way. And that's true for every believer. The battle with sin still continues on, but we have a new heart and a new desire. When someone places their faith in Jesus, they're born again. They now have right standing before God, who is holy and does not tolerate any sin, and God never lowers his standards. By the way, it's always easier to point out the sin in another person than it is to take an accounting of our own lives. That's far safer, isn't it? When someone becomes a Christian, they're not perfect, but they embark on a journey. The destination is secure, but the way there is fraught with many perils. But we're on a journey. That's why John says in verse 6 of 1 John 1, that we're on a walk. He says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. It's a journey that begins the moment someone places their trust in Jesus Christ. As we begin to walk in relationship with God, C.S. Lewis says that we should live better once we're Christians, but it's not really fair to compare ourselves to other people, because some people come out of horrible backgrounds and they have lots to work through, and other people come out of good backgrounds and maybe they're not even a believer. But the starting point isn't really equal. We're all sinners, and that's clear for all of us, but some people have stuff to work through that other people have had a relatively easy life, maybe growing up in a moral situation. That's not the issue. The issue is the journey taking place? Is the believer beginning to walk? Is he being transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit in his life? There should be a correlation between our fellowship and our walk. If there is not, then something is wrong, and perhaps we're living a lie. That's what John says in verse 6. If we say we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. There are people in churches who say they are Christians, but they're not telling the truth. They don't know the Lord. They're not connected to God through Jesus Christ. And it's a lie. We can say we're Christian, but not be a Christian. There are people who are Christians who are not living consistently with the reality that's going on. Because when they become a Christian, when they invite Jesus Christ to come into their lives, he comes through the Holy Spirit and he begins to clean them up. And to live a life of continual sin is a lie as well. Either case is a lie. Notice John isn't talking about sins per se. Look at verse 10 of 1 John 1. It says, if we have say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. We still sin, but he's talking about a practice, a lifestyle, or a walk of sin. He's talking about the journey of an unrepentant, that the Christian shouldn't live in unrepentant sin. John says the believer can't do that. They can't do that. We can't continue on in that lifestyle of sin. It's what I preached on a few weeks ago here from Romans chapter 6, where the question was asked to the Apostle Paul, shall we continue in sin that grace might increase? And he said, may it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? We don't live the old way because we're not who we were anymore. We're born again. We're a new person. We don't continue on in the way that we were before. The truth is that if God is light, there is no darkness at all in him. And we have fellowship with him. We cannot help but reflect his light. One time a few years ago, when we were living in the country of Slovenia, Croatia is right next door, and our kids were visiting friends in Croatia for the weekend. And they were coming back from the weekend trip on the train. And it was Sunday evening. We had our worship services on Sunday evenings. And I came home after our worship service. I changed clothes. I was relaxing in the house. And then it was time to go pick up the kids at the train station. And I got in the car and I started driving. And I realized, oh, I forgot to put my wallet in my pocket. I didn't have my identification. And I didn't have my driver's license with me. And it's Sunday night, and every Sunday night, the police are out, and they would have speed traps. But I know where they're at, and I won't speed, and I'll be real careful when I go past the speed trap. And I drove into town. There they are, just like I expected. They're sitting there shooting the radar, and I'm like, ah, ha, ha, you won't get me. I know you're there. And I drove into the train station, picked up the kids, got the kids, and we were leaving near the train station, and there was another speed trap, but they weren't just checking for speed. They were checking for driver's license and identification, and I got pulled over. And the police officer came over to me and asked for my driver's license, and I said, I don't have it. It's in my wallet at home. I had to pick up the kids at the train station. They just got back from Croatia after the weekend. I forgot to bring it, and I would have been late if I went back to the house to get it. You don't have your driver's license? No. Well, give me some identification. I don't have any identification. No identification? No. No. But the kids have their passports. Yeah. No driver's license? No identification. I said, nope. And he shook his head, and then he said, Shreshna Pot, and he turned and went away, which basically means safe driving. Get going. And I slowly pulled away and got out of there. God's not like that. He doesn't wink and nod at sin. There's no darkness in his presence. We might get away with some things in this world, but we do not. We do not with holy God. God is light. There's no darkness in him. If we have fellowship with him, we cannot help but reflect his light. It's going to happen. It's the natural result. Two things happen when someone walks in the light. Verse 7, but if we walk in the light as he himself is in light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of his son cleanses us from all sin. First of all, as you and I walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another. Isn't that great? Isn't that great? The key for Christian fellowship is that we are properly connected to the Lord, to God himself, and that we are enjoying fellowship with him. And as we enjoy fellowship with God, then we are able to experience Christian fellowship with other brothers and sisters in Christ. That's the key to genuine Christian fellowship. We were in Slovenia. We were able to experience, small scale, but a little bit of heaven with some believers from very different backgrounds. Our connection wasn't our culture, our language, our traditions. It was the Lord. It was the Lord. We were connected to the Lord. We had some really godly friends that we really enjoyed. We experienced Christian fellowship. It's just a taste of what heaven is going to be. That's the key to Christian fellowship. As we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another. Isn't that the kind of church you want? If it is, then walk closely with the Lord. Enjoy a relationship with him. God loves you. He's removed every barrier between you and him. Don't feel guilty that you haven't spent time with the Lord. Just come to him and enjoy the Lord. Walk with him step by step, moment by moment, and let God be the one to transform your fellowship with other believers. That's the first thing that happens. The second thing that happens when someone walks in the light is that the blood of Jesus cleanses them from all sin. They experience continual cleansing in the Lord. When we walk in the light, we're bringing things into the light. One step at a time. We're not hiding things, keeping it away from God, but we're confessing sin appropriately, and we're bringing it out to the Lord. We're confessing it, we're repenting of it, we're turning away from it, and then we're asking God to fill us with the Spirit and appropriating the power of Jesus Christ in our lives to live the Christian life. We're properly bringing it out into light with other believers in an appropriate way. That doesn't mean we share everything with everyone. But sometimes we need accountability with other people. That's walking in the light. If you're hiding something, it's probably not good, right? Other than a Christmas present, there's usually a reason why we're hiding something. It's because we're ashamed of it, or we're embarrassed of it, or we know it's wrong. If you want fellowship with God, and if you want fellowship with other believers to be close and intimate, live in the light and bring stuff out into the light. Live confessionally. Experience the continual cleansing. Now the believer, the moment they place their trust in Jesus Christ, are cleansed. We are clean. But we need to continue to have the feet washed, so to speak, as we walk in this world, bringing things out into the light. Some questions for you this morning. First of all, do you know the Father? Are you enjoying the party of the church, the family of God, or are you on the outside looking in? Are you connected to the Father through the Son, Jesus Christ? That's the starting place. If not, or if you're not sure, I would love to talk with you afterwards, or Rich would, or someone would love to share with you how you can be certain that you have eternal life by being connected to God the Father through the Son, Jesus Christ. The second question is, are you walking in fellowship with the Father? Are you enjoying God, is another way to put it. Now, Jesus talks about abiding in him, but enjoying a relationship with God. He loves you very much, and he wants you to come into a relationship and experience the joy of knowing him. And the third question is, it's a difficult one, but how is your fellowship with other believers? How's your fellowship with other believers? That's the one that's difficult, isn't it? You can have this fellowship with God, but getting along with other people sometimes is difficult. But that relationship with God certainly affects our relationship with other people. And as we enjoy the Lord, we can enjoy one another, not because we have all these wonderful things in common, but we have the most important thing in common, and that is salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. One of the things a friend of mine would say over the years is, thank God every day for your salvation. That's part of walking in the light. acknowledging that, well, there's a whole life, there's a whole battle ahead, but I'm born again, but I know the Lord. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you so much for your tremendous love and forgiveness and grace to us. And I pray that you would be with this church family and that we would walk in the light, that we would enjoy you, we would enjoy one another. And I pray if there's someone here this morning who doesn't know you, that they would come to know you, become connected to the Father through the Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you so much for your love and grace to us and for the joy that we have of knowing you and knowing our sins are forgiven. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. May you have a blessed week.